Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama's Lama Day. We're on Lama Dala. We're on Lama Dala and Aleph, a little bit more behind than normal. We're going to catch up today, Mirz Hashem. And so our first sugya today is going to go over some basics regarding short time. We already know this is, at this point in time, the ABCs of Nezakin, especially a short time. And that is that it pays Chatzi Nezek. The idea that a short time pays Chatzi Nezek is based on Pesukim in the Torah. And so the Gemara just simply elaborates. Shor shava masayim shenagach shor shava masayim. So we're in the Mishnah, Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, and that is that a shor valued at 200 is now attacking, goring an animal of a shor value 200. Vein nevela yafeklum. And how much damage did it did? Total damage, right? The nizak animal is now totaled. Totaled meaning that it has zero value, right? How can you take something that had 200 and reduce it down to zero? It can happen. So anyway, Amar Rav Meir al-Zen Amar Machus Ashor Chad Chatzus Kasbo. So Rav Meir says, so good. So now you're going to be paying Chatzi Nezek. But that's not Rav Meir's point, meaning that we already knew, meaning that's already at this point in time rudimentary. But what Rabbi Meir is telling us is that's pshat in the pasuk. The Torah, when describing this idea of Chatzi Nezek, the Torah says it's Umachu Ashor Chai. In other words, the living shore, that's the Mazik shore. So you're going to be selling it. V'chatzus Kasbo. And what you're going to be doing is dividing the money. Which is perfect, meaning that the 200, reducing the Nizak's value, the animal's value down from 200 to zero. So now the amount of Nezek owed is 200, but you pay half of that. So what you do is you sell the Mazik's animal, and half of 200, of course, is 100, and it's perfect. Now, mind you, it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it, and that is that according to Reb Meir, in other words, it's always going to be Chatzi Nezek, meaning if the damage is not, let's say, 200, but the damage was only 100, so you pay 50. If the damage was only 50, you pay 25. Meaning, all we're doing over here, and it's not a little thing, but all we're doing over here is just simply teaching the pasuk. But in other words, when all said and done, it's the same formula, regardless of what the numbers actually are. We just want to know, where do we find this pasuk in the Torah? How does it play out? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda v'chein halacha. So Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Meir, so very good. Meaning, what I'm going to agree with you, meaning you're saying good, but what you're not doing is you're not saying pshat in the pasuk. Meaning, I'm disagreeing with you in terms of how to interpret the pasukim in the Torah. Why? Because, and this is an accusation from Rabbi Yehuda to Rabbi Meir, here's what you did and here's what you didn't do. You explained the first part of the pasuk, but what you also did is you ignore the second part of the pasuk. Kiyamta machros ashor achai v'chatzus kaspo. V'lo kiyamta v'gamas ames yechatzun. Okay, but there's another phrase in that pasuk. And the second phrase is that what do you do with the mace? The animal that was gored and now dead. So what you're going to do is divide. You're going to divide that animal. Now, according to you, meaning according to Rabbi Meir, so that animal is valued at zero. So you know what half of zero is. Half of zero is zero. You're not explaining the second part of the pasuk. So it's just simply not there. So the A's is there. So now, so what Rabbi Yehuda is going to do is that he's going to present what he believes is correct taich of the pasuk. Again, they're not arguing over what half is. Everybody knows what half is. It's just a question of where does the pasuk actually play out. So it says, Shor Sheva Masayim, Shenagach Shor Sheva Masayim. So once again, we're going to start this at the same point. 200, 200. The Mazik Shor is valued at 200. Nizak Shor is valued at 200. Ve'nevela Yefech Hamishim Zuz. Now, as far as the Nevela is concerned, so now, its residual value after damage is 50. Okay, so now the amount that is owed is going to be 150. Okay, this we're going to start off today with easy math. So the residual is going to be 150. Zenotel chati chai v'chati meis. Zenotel chati chai v'chati meis. And now what do you do? So we're gonna sell and split. So in other words, how much is owed to him? So what's owed to him now is half of 150, which is 75. So now what you're doing is that you're selling off the chai, and each one of them is going to be receiving half. You're selling off the mace. In other words, the mace's residual is going to be 50. Each one of them is going to be receiving half as well. And under those circumstances now, so you're going to be getting half of each, and that totals now 75. Perfect. So so that will be now a good demonstration of how the pasuk is going to play out. Okay, wonderful. All right, we are basically not in disagreement of what Chatzi Nezek looks like. It's just a question now of how to teach up Pesukim in the Torah. But when all said and done, it seems to be that we have agreement in Halacha. It's just disagreement in terms of how to teach up the Pesukim. Tanu Rabbanan, or in Lamed Aleph Mem Aleph. And what we're going to do is basically the same thing again, but here in the Braisa. Shor Shav Masayim Shenaga Shor Shav Masayim, again 200-200. V'Nevel Yafei Chamishim Zuz. And now the animal after damage is down to 50, which means now that the amount of damage was 150. And again, you're going to be paying half of that, which is 75. Zenotu Chatzi Chai V'Chatzi Ameis. V'Zenotu Chatzi Chai V'Chatzi Ameis. V'Zeu Shor Hamor B'Tor Diver Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so what the Braisa just did is it just gave a Shitas Rav Yehuda. Meaning what the Braisa did is exactly what we saw in the Mishnah. It's just that the Braisa over here first presents Shitas Rav Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, Ein Zeh Shor Hamor B'Torah. And Rabbi Meir says, no, that's not the pshat in the Pasuk. Ela Shor Shav HaMasayim Shenachak Shor Shav HaMasayim Veina Nevel Yafek Klum Azanamar Machus HaShor HaChai V'Chatzu Kaspo. Okay, and now, here in the Braisa, now we're introduced to Shita Rav Meir. And Rav Meir says that 200-200, and the nizak goes down from 200 to zero. And now what do? You sell off the animal, the surviving animal, the mazik's animal, and split it, because that's how much he owes. He owes 100. Okay. Elamani mekayim v'gamis ames yechetzun. Ah. So now we turn to Rav Meir, and we ask Rav Meir, nu? Okay, so, and this, by the way, we didn't hear in the Mishnah. Now in the Braisa, we get to hear. What are we hearing now? The response of Rav Meir, meaning Rav Yehuda levied a very strong accusation to Rabbi Meir. Are you ignoring the next phrase in the Pasuk? And now in the Braisa, we're hearing together, Rav Meir says, no, I'm not ignoring it. So what Rabbi Meir will say regarding the second half of the Pasuk is that the Torah is just simply saying, do you know what the assessment is going to be a predicate of? In other words, whatever the diminished value is based on the damage. In other words, the phrase "vegamus ames yechetzun," it simply means is that whatever the assessed damage is as a result of the damage, so you're going to be paying. So the mazik is going to be paying half of that. That's all the second half of the pasuk means. Okay. So mechti bein the Rebbe Meir bein the Rebbe Yehuda hi meir vestu mechamisha.
For instance, how does it work out in numbers?
Huh?
How does it work out in numbers?
Meaning, according to Rav Meir, according to Rav Yehuda. According to Rav Meir, it's easy. Meaning, my animal's 200, your animal's 200. Right. The amount of nezek that was caused was a full 200.
Right, it's dead, gone.
Okay. Gone. Now I have to pay you half the nezek. So I'm going to sell my animal, and then my animal's sale is going to generate 200. I get half. You get half.
Right. So what's the gone? What's the mess?
And. In other words, and according to Rav Meir, the second half of the pasuk is just simply telling us, and what am I dividing? I'm dividing the loss that's created by the nezek. That's all. In other words, it's not instructions of let's sell off the nevela and let's divide it. No, the Torah is just simply saying I'm going to be giving you half of the nezek. That's all. It's not.
Well, the nevela is worth nothing, right?
Correct. In other words, Rav Meir is telling you the pasuk is not there telling me that I have to go and sell it and divide the sale. No. The Torah is just simply saying, how much are we assessing? Half of the damage.
Pasha. So according to Rabbi Meir, who owns the nevela?
Well, we're getting, that's an excellent question. We're going to get there. So, Mechti, Bein le Reb Meir, Bein le Reb Yehuda, Hai Mei Avesrim V'chamisha Shakel, V'hai Mei Avesrim V'chamisha Shakel, Mai Bein Ayu. And now the Gemara says, okay, so when all said and done, so we're all squared. Meaning, so everyone's in agreement that whatever the damage is, you're paying half. And now we're having a machlokus regarding what's pshat in the pasuk. And by the way, it's not unimportant. Meaning, there is a value to knowing what pshat in the pasuk is. Right? The mefarshim for years and years have dedicated themselves to explaining what pshat in the pasukim is. Rashi, most famously, says that, look, in other words, you have the midrashim, but also there's pshat. You have to understand what pshat in the pasuk is. And any boss of Rashi writes, I think the first place he writes is in the third parak of Bereishis, meaning it's not his opening comment in the Torah. His opening comment in the Torah is the most famous. But in terms of what his mission is, well, in other words, what's his goal, his objective, in terms of when he's explaining the Torah, so he's saying pshat in the Torah. So it's not a small thing to explain what pshat in the Torah is. But as far as we're concerned, meaning we're learning halacha right now, meaning we're learning Baba Kama. We're learning halacha. So as far as halacha is concerned, nobody's disagreeing, seemingly. So the Gemara says, "My beinayu." Okay, so if nobody's disagreeing and we're just arguing about pshat in the pasuk, again, it's important. It's not unimportant. But in other words, but we wouldn't have Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Machlokis, Mishnah, Braisa, and they're just, in other words, and there's no nafkamina, there's no practical difference. So Amarava Pchas Nevela Kabinayo. So the Gemara says, ah, there's going to be a difference between them, and that's going to be Pchas Nevela. Rabbi Meir, so Pchas Nevela, Deniza Kaveh. So according to Rabbi Meir, so Pchas Nevela. Now, first and foremost, what is Pchas Nevela? And that is going to be depreciation after the damage occurred. So in other words, first you have the damage, which is going to obviously be a reduction, and that reduction now has to be assessed vis-a-vis the damages that you pay. And again, because it's a time, you only pay half that number. Fine. But in other words, that gets us to number one. Now, and everyone's in agreement on that. So in other words, so as far as the actual nezik is concerned, that's a point of agreement. The point of disagreement now is that, look, the nezek's animal was killed, which means now that it's a carcass, which means now that it is a diminishing value, right? One day, 2 days later, decomposition. It's going to reduce in value. Who's absorbing that loss? That's the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Meir is of Rav Pchas Nevela de Nizak Havei. So Rabbi Meir is of the position that the Pchas Nevela is going to be belonging to the Nizak. Meaning the Nizak, unfortunate for him, is that he's going to be absorbing that loss. In other words, the animal was alive and well. Now it was damaged to the point where it died. It was killed. Let's say it went from 200 down to 50. But now 50 meaning immediately post-damage. But now it's all it's going to do is decompose and diminish in value. And who is absorbing that cost? So according to Rabbi Meir, it's going to be the Nizak. And Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Pchas Nevela, Demazik Havei Palga. So and as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, the Pchas Nevela is going to be belonging to the Mazik, meaning that as far as the depreciated value of the animal post damage, so that according to Rabbi Yehuda is going to be absorbed by the Mazik. Okay, so what we have over here is a practical difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, not regarding what Chatzi Nezek looks like. Everybody agrees to what Chatzi Nezek looks like. Whatever its diminished value is as a result of the damage, assess it, half it, that's Chatzi Nezek. That's easy. What's difficult, not difficult, but what is subject now to a machlokas is now, there's still going to be continued loss, depreciated value. And what do I do about that? Who's absorbing that? That's the machlokas. To which Amalei Abayim came atin l'Rabbi Yehuda. So now Abayim says, wait one second. It comes down that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is now going to be an extra cost or extra liability that's going to be incurred by the mazik in the case of short tam. Now, here comes something which is wild, Abaye says. And that is, tam chamer mimuad. Now it comes out that the short tam is going to be more chamer than muad, right? And the Gemara is going to illustrate it in just a moment, but even before the Gemara illustrates it, makes sense. Meaning, by muad, what have we learned earlier in the Masechta? Who has to be metapa b'nevela? The Nizak has to be metapa b'nevela, by muad. And now, by a tam, so who is now going to be absorbing that extra cost of depreciated value? The mazik. And now that means that that in the case of tam, mazik is going to be absorbing more liability. That's really weird. And the Gemara says it's really weird and it doesn't make any sense. V'chite ma'achinami, the Gemara says kidinan. And the Gemara says, and what bothers you now? That sometimes tam is going to be more chamer than muad? The Gemara says, you know, I'll show you a Mishnah. The Mishnah is coming up later in the Masechta. Mem hey, where in actuality, tam is more chamer than muad. Rabbi Yehuda Amar tam chayav, muad pater. Okay, this is regarding a Mishnah later on regarding Shmira. You do a Shmira, but you do a Shmira of the animal that is insufficient. It's a Shmir Pchusa. It is a inferior type of Shmira. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to a tam that you're going to have liability, when it comes to a muad, you're not going to have liability. We'll discuss this later when we get to Daf Mem Hei. The point the Gemara is making right now is that you think it's absurd to say that a tam can't be more chamer than muad? In the world of Shmira, we're going to see that it's not absurd to say. So what the Gemara now is proposing, well, if we say that regarding Shmira, so maybe over here by liability, maybe we'll say the same thing. Amen. Deshamalei l'Rav Yehuda l'inyan Shmira. Dixiv Ikrai. So the Gemara says, well, as far as Shmira is concerned, so we're going to say it. But that's a function of psukim. Again, when we get to Mem Hei, we're going to darsh in the Pesukim. We're going to see how all that plays out. We'll speak it out in more detail. But in other words, what the Gemara is saying is that there in the world of Shmirah, you can have the phenomena of Tam being more Chamer than Muad. But in other words, after that, no way. Meaning when you're talking now about liability, i.e. the money that you have to pay, it can't be that Tam is more Chamer than Muad. Lein Tashlomim Misham Alei, as the Gemara says, V'atanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer. So the Gemara says, consider the following, and that is that the Shor Shenagach is worth a ton of money, right? The Gemara over here is. Right, 100 zuz, which is equivalent to 25 salayim. Okay, let's just say for our purposes, let's just say right now 25 salayim, and it does damage to an animal that is only worth 5 salayim. So an animal, the mazik's animal, is valued at 25 salayim. The nizak's animal is valued at 5 salayim, and it causes a little bit of damage, 4 salayim worth of damage. And I say a little bit, by the way, everything of course is relative. So in other words, the animal that does damage is 25. The animal that is damaged is only a value of 4. I'm sorry. The amount of damage is only 4 salayim. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, again, what's Rabbi Yehuda's formula?
That's 4 out of 5. That's almost the whole thing.
Correct. But now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what's the formula? Well, we're going to sell half the mazik's animal and half the nizak's animal. And now you get half and I get half. Right? Meaning that was the formula when it was 150. But that's because both animals began at 200. And when both animals began at 200, so I'm causing significant loss to your animal, and it's relative to your animal, and it's relative to my animal as well. Both our animals start at 200. And both our animals start at 200, and I cause 150 worth of damage. So then, yeah, then you could plug in the formula. I sell my animal, I sell the animal, the mazik, sell the animal, the nizak. We split both. And now you're going to get chatzin ezek, and I remain with the remainder. But over here now it turns into an absurdity where my animal is 25, your animal is only 5, and now what happened? 4 slime worth of damage. Now let's split my animal. Let's split your animal. Let's split that money. You're walking away with an unbelievable amount of money for a negligible amount of damage. Well, that's absurd. Meaning, it can be. Amar v'chi mu'ad l'ama yotzei l'achmei alav o l'hak alav. Havei omer l'achmei alav. Uma mu'ad inna mishal me'el amashi hizek tam akal lo kol shekein. You can't. There's no way by Tom that you're going to be in a position that you're going to have to pay more than the animal was actually valued at. Meaning, in such a scenario, Rabbi Yehuda is going to acknowledge and admit, I can't plug in my formula. My trusty formula is not that useful. It's only useful when our animals start off at the same valuation. My animal is 200 and your animal is 200. Under those circumstances, we can plug in my formula. But over here, if my animal was valued at, again, I'm just changing the numbers, but I'm working with the Gemara. But the point is the same point. If my animal is 25 and your animal is only 5, now what are we going to do? We're going to sell off both animals and I'm going to give you half and you're going to get half? Well, again, half of 25 is going to be 12 and a half, and I'm now going to give you 12 and a half. When your animal started off only at a valuation of 5, like that's crazy. Even Rabbi Yehuda is going to tell you, my formula is not to be used under all circumstances. In fact, my formula is going to be used almost none of the time. The only time the formula works is only when it's even. So, well, basically what we're at right now is we're a little bit stuck. In other words, what we're suggesting right now is that there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Okay, what we don't know is what the machlokes actually is. And what we're proposing right now is, well, maybe the machlokes between them is who's going to be absorbing pchas nevela. After damages, the animal now is just going to continually depreciate in its value. Right? It's a car. It just continuously depreciates. So now, after the damage, meaning the damage is going to be setting how much I owe you. But now, after that, it's going to depreciate, and its rate of depreciation even increases as well. Who's absorbing that? So what Gemara proposed is, well, maybe that's the machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, whether that absorption of loss is going to be by the nizik or the mazik. And what the Gemara is trying to wrap its head around, well, if that's true, and there's an opinion out there that says that the mazik is absorbing that loss, then it comes out that the short time halacha is going to be more severe than the short muad halacha, and that's just an untenable position. Okay. So, Elam Rav Yochanan, so the Gemara says, okay. So Rav Yochanan says, okay. So what we're going to have to do is that we're going to have to scratch that idea, and we're going to go to an alternative idea, and that is Shvach Nevela Ikevein Ahu. What if the animal goes up in price? Now, it's a little bit hard to imagine, meaning the animal was just killed, and now it's a Nevela, and how is it possible that it can actually appreciate in value? I don't know, right? The Nevela market went out of control. Okay. People, whatever. In other words, again, market.
There could be a disease that kills off all the animals in this.
Good. So I was going to say, in other words, look, the markets are funny and, you know, markets aren't predictable. Okay. The point is that in a free market, it can happen. So there's shvach. So shvach nevelika by now, mar savar denizekava, or mar savar palga. And now, the machlok is between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, is now who gets to appreciate the appreciation. Thank you, by the way. I've been waiting all morning for the alliteration. But who gets to appreciate that? Who is enjoying that? So the right. So now the Gemara is suggesting is that the Shvach Nevela. So according to Rav Meir, that's going to be enjoyed by the Nizak. So in other words, because effectively it's his animal, I went up in value. Good. Okay. That's my benefit, but you owe me whatever you owe me. And this doesn't get factored into the equation. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, no, palga, no. According to Rabbi Yehuda, look, in other words, my animal damaged your animal, I have to pay for the damages. And again, it's time I have to pay for half of it. Ah, but your animal went up in value? Whoa. In other words, that animal went up in value, so I get to now discount that from the damages that I pay you. Meaning all I have to do is just make good on that which I owe you. But we can't ignore the fact that your animal just went up in value. Granted, it's a Nevela, but the market demanded that it's going to get a better price now, for whatever reason. So that now is going to get deducted from the Nezik that I owe you. So the Gemara says, and now you understand, this is what was difficult for Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning, in the previous brisa, so Rav Yehuda's taina was, look, the Torah had compassion on the mazik, the shakab shivcha, and the yachol shor shav chamish laim shenagach shor shav amane. So v'haneveli yafe chamishim zuz, the zeno tochatzi echai v'chatzi ameis, v'zeno tochatzi echai v'chatzi ameis. So amart heicha metzino mazik niskar shezeh niskar. So in other words, if we're now talking about where it appreciates in value, and the appreciation is so great, and now you're telling me that the mazik gets to share in that appreciation, so now we're going to have a scenario, and again, it's an absurdity, where the mazik does damage, and now he's going to get paid? Meaning, forget not having to pay, but now you're going to have a situation where he's going to get paid? Again, in other words, in a situation where the appreciation of the nevela is so great, for whatever reason, the market went crazy for nevela, and it's so great. Now you're going to tell the mazik, hey, not only are you not going to have to pay, but you now get to share in the bump in price in the nevela. It's very hard to imagine. And on top of that, that's number one. V'omer. And on top of that, shalem yishalem. So balam yishalem ve'ein balam nodlim. And on top of that, the Torah gives very clear instructions to the animal of the mazik. You pay. You pay and you don't collect. So in other words, there's never going to be a situation where the mazik is going to be in a position where after damage occurs, oh good, I damage? Great, now I get to collect. So in other words, we have just a common sense argument of how can your animal do damage and then you're going to end up collecting. And point number two, the Torah says, shalem yishalem. My v'omer, now the Gemara always does this, meaning when you're making a second point, the second point is adding something, but the truth of the matter is the first point already was exceptional. So the Gemara says like this. The second point of the Braisa is illustrating the following. Let's say the appreciation, you'll forgive me, I'm going to ignore all the numbers right now. Let's say the appreciation of the nevela is so great, everyone benefits. Meaning that there is so much of a boom in the appreciated value of the nevela, the mazik gets his, the nizak gets his, everyone's getting, no one's losing. Despite the fact that all this was as a result of my animal damage your animal. But because the appreciated value of the nevela is such, everyone's getting and no one's going to be suffering any kind of financial loss. So maybe you'll say, well, maybe in that situation, you know what? Let the mazik enjoy the half of the appreciated value. So that's why I need the omer shalem shalem balim sham vein balim notlem. That's why I need the second part to come along and teach me. No, under such circumstances, it is an absurdity. In other words, there's no way that we can ever arrive at a point where the mazik is ever going to be able to collect. Okay. Where are we right now in the Gemara? So we are, just gave a nafkamina between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Okay, so where isn't there a nafkamina? Where is a nafkamina? Good. Again, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda are arguing about the circumstances that the Torah is describing. Everyone's in agreement that when your tam does damage, you have to pay half the damages. Chatzi nezik, that part's easy. It's just a question of when the Torah is describing, you know, right, we're going to sell off my animal, the animal that does damage, and we're going to sell off the animal that was damaged. At least that's one way to interpret the psukim. And another Tana says, no. In other words, the Torah is just simply saying that you're going to be selling off your animal, the mazik's animal, and you're paying half the damages. But outside of saying pshat in the pasuk, where is there any debate between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda? So we just spent the good part of yesterday's daf just going over where they may be arguing. What if there is a depreciation of the nevela post damage? So the Gemara says no way we're arguing that point. The nizak is going to have to suffer it. For a moment, the Gemara entertained maybe the mazik is going to be suffering it, but then that would be strange because then tam would be more chamer than muad, and that's an absurdity. So the Gemara says is that the only area in which they're going to be arguing about is where the nevela went up in value. In other words, a boom to that an appreciated value to the nevela after damages. And is that going to be enjoyed exclusively by the nizak? Alternatively, maybe no. Maybe what you get to do is that you get to take that appreciated value and knock that off the nezak. Okay, and that Gemara says is the machlokus between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Okay, and just finishing up till we get to the Mishnah. Amalei Rav Acha bar techlifa l'rava im kein. So now, according to Rav Yehuda, when the pasuk says "gam es ames yechetzun," so the has nothing to do with pchas nevela. Matzila Rav Yehuda tamisham yotze mechatzin nezek. So now, what can come out of something a little bit strange, and that is that according to Rav Yehuda, a tam is going to be paying more, exceed chatzin nezek. The Torah Amar Machus Hashorachai vechatzu is kaspo. So Israel Rav Yehuda pchas shepichsa misa machzim bechai. Now what comes out is that you're going to, according to Rav Yehuda, not only assess the value of the nezek, but also the depreciated value as well. So menale. So vegamis amesiachetzun v'ha afke Rav Yehuda lezenot chatziachai v'chatziames v'zenot chatziachai v'chatziames. So the Gemara says now, according to Rav Yehuda, didn't we already explain both phrases of the pasuk? So the Gemara says, "Yeah, you're right." But imke nichtov kra ve'asameis my vigam shmamene tarte. So the Gemara says, "You're right." Both points are correct, meaning that again, Rav Yehuda's formula of selling off the animal that damaged, selling off the animal that was damaged. Sorry, let's say that again clearly. According to Rav Yehuda, selling off the animal that did damage, selling off the animal that was damaged, and then splitting the two between them. The Rav Yehuda formula, which again, going back to what we learned earlier, is extraordinarily limited formula. The formula only works when both animals' valuation were equal to one another. But in such a situation, you have the Rav Yehuda formula. That is one area where the Torah is describing. And then the second idea, pchas nevela, and that is that the depreciated value of the animal is going to have to be absorbed by the nizak. That also is going to be learned as well in the pasuk. Okay, adkan. Okay, it takes us to the, really, not the end of yesterday's daf, but effectively the end of yesterday's daf. Okay, now we are caught up. But, of course, we don't have a lot of time for the remainder of today's daf. But as I pointed out, today's daf is relatively short and pretty straightforward. Yesha maisa sharo u pater Amaisa Atzmo. Patra Amaisa Shora V'chayev Amaisa Atzmo. Compare and contrast. This is something that the Mishnayos regularly do. And that is that let's take a look at Nezek done by a person. Nezek done by an animal. Same act. And meanwhile, different consequences. It is a perfect way of illustrating halachas as they play out. And just simply by doing this compare and contrast, it really fleshes out like some of the basic halachic ideas. Ketzad. So let's now take the abstract and put it into practical examples. So Sharosh Abiyash Pater, let's say your animal goes ahead and embarrasses a person. Now your animal embarrassing. Okay, this is a little bit strange, by the way. Do not think that the animal is actually teasing a person. That'd be a little bit strange. That's obviously not what the Mishnah is describing over here. What the Mishnah is describing is that in the course of Nezek, there's also Busha as well. Meaning, what is Busha? Busha is basically that you are humiliated. Aside from the fact that you were injured, you're also humiliated, right? Someone hits you in public. So aside from the fact that there's actual damage that occurs, there's also the humiliation of being hit in public. So for that, there is a payment of what's called boshes. But that's only for Adam Hamazik. The boshes payment is not going to be incurred when your animal does damage. Your animal damaged somebody in public, causing not only damage, but also humiliation as well. That's exactly the point of the Mishnah. In other words, for Nizke Mamon, you don't pay boshes. The only boshes payment is going to be Nizke Haguf. That's only when I do the damage. That's number one. Number two, Sharosh Yisimus Ein Avdo Hipol Shino Pater Vehush Yisimus Ein Avdo Hipol Shino Chayev. So let's go over another example of compare and contrast. And that is that my animal goes and knocks out any one of the extremities of my Eved Kanani. So now does he go free? The answer is no. In other words, obviously you have to make up for those damages, but doesn't go free. In other words, even though the Torah describes that there's going to be Shichur HaEved, if the owner knocks out a tooth, an eye, or any one of the extremities, so the Eved Kanani goes free, but that's only when I do the damage, not when the animal does the damage. So let's say my animal damages either my mother or my father and causes a wound, a chabura. So now what do? I pay damages. However, if I do such a thing, cause a chabura to mom or to dad, so I'm not going to have to pay. Do you know why I'm not going to have to pay? Because of the principle of kim leba derabi mine. In other words, because there we're now looking at a capital crime. And we all know, right, it comes up again and again throughout Shas, and that is that you can't be punished two times over for a single act. Over there, once it's a capital crime, there's not going to be monetary payments. Kim leba derabimine. Shor shehidlik esagadish b'shabbos chayav, v'hu shehidlik esagadish b'shabbos patur mimne shum eschayav v'nafsho. And let's go over one more example of kim leba derabimine. Here's a classic. And that is that my animal causes a fire in somebody else's property, so then I have to pay for those damages. Why? Because again, there's no violation of Shabbos. If I, on the other hand, cause a fire on Shabbos, so now I violated Shabbos, that is a capital punishment, and therefore I'm going to be exempt from having to pay. Now, it's funny, by the way, I say this so matter-of-factly because this is an idea that expresses again and again throughout Shas. It's rather amazing, meaning that when I burn somebody, Rachmanis, but in other words, if I burn somebody's house on fire, causing thousands upon thousands of dollars of damage, right, more than that. In other words, but because of this rule that what I did is a capital crime, I don't have to pay, it's rather remarkable. In other words, it is a remarkable idea, but that exactly is the point of Kim Leib Rabimine. Okay. Tani Rabbi Abba coming to Rabbi Yochanan Kol HaMekalkelin, Paturin Chutz Michol V'lo Mavir. Okay, so the following Amora went to Rabbi Yochanan, quoting a Braisa. Anytime you see this set up in the Gemara, you know what's going to happen. In other words, the Gemara is basically testing various braises out. Is this braise good? Is that braise good? Right? Is there any defect in the braise? Now, the vast majority of the time, the braises check out because we don't hear about it. But in other words, when the Gemara is setting ourselves up with an Amora going over to another Amora. Let's test out this price. Is this price a good? When the Gemara sets it up like that, we know what's going to end up happening, and that is that a dismissal. No, this price is no good. Meaning the most of the, this is my educated guess. The vast majority of times the prices check out. which is great. In other words, that's why we don't hear this. But when we're hearing something like this, we know it's not going to check out. And that is, so Tani Rabbi Abba come into Rabbi Yochanan Kolam HaKalkalim Peturim, Chutz Michovel HaMavir. So you know, when you do any one of the 39 malachas, but you do it B'derech Kilkol, you do it in a destructive manner. It's not constructive. So now, Pater, meaning that is not a malacha, you're not subject to any of the Onshim HaShabbos. It's not a Chiyuv Kares, you're not going to be Chayav HaKarban Chatas, v'chule v'chule. Now, does it mean you're allowed to do it? Okay. That's more than a legitimate question. But in other words, Pater just simply means it is not a violation of Shabbos. Let's just keep it nice and simple. Okay? So, with notable exception to two of the 39 malachas. So, for 37 of the malachos, this rule is true, that Kilkul is Pater. However, when it comes to Chovel and Mavir, two of the malachas of Shabbos, Chovel and Mavir, so under those circumstances, even when done derech kilkul, even when all you're doing is to destroy, and it's not constructive, but rather destructive, so then you're going to be chayav. These are the two exceptions. So this is the brisa that was quoted in front of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan's response, poktani livra. So Rav Yochanan says, here's what you could do with the brisa, and that is get it out of the Beis Medrash. Meaning it has no place here in the Beis Medrash. It is simply an unacceptable brisa. Okay? In other words, this is as clear a rejection as one could possibly get. Poke tani levra. Go teach it outside. Or rather, take it outside. So, chovel amavir in a Mishnah. So now, it's not a Mishnah, meaning we don't have such a Mesorah, and whoever brought down this Braisa simply is not saying correct. Vim tim salama Mishnah.
Is it Chayavan?
According to Rav Yochanan? And then it's Kilkul. It's Kilkul. No, meaning according to Rav Yochanan, no. Kol makachlam paturim, and according to Rav Yochanan, that would be every malacha. Now the imtim salama Mishnah. So the Gemara says, and now let's at least try to resurrect it a little bit, resuscitation, a little tchias samesim regarding the brisa. So that is chovah b'tzarach lechalbo. So the and mavir. Okay, in other words, and what am I going to do? In other words, in the case where I make a chavala. Chavala is, I make a wound, but it's more than just a wound, meaning I'm making a wound and blood is coming out. So maybe the Braisa was talking about a case where my dog was really sick, and the doctor said, the vet said, your dog needs a diet of blood. Okay, I don't know how the veterinarians thought, you know, back in the 4th, 5th century. But that's what the vet said. So now, as a refuah for my dog, so what we're going to do now is that we're not going to shech the animal. In other words, we'll puncture the animal. It's a chavala, but it's not really a kilkul because my animal is going to benefit from it. That would be the case. That would be one case. And mavir tzarech lafro. And let's say I'm burning things up, but maybe I need the ashes. So in other words, there is something productive that is coming out of this. Of this Havara.
So it's not really a kilkul.
Effectively, perfect. That's exactly Rav Yochanan's point. Meaning that if I'm going to give any credence to the Braisa whatsoever, here's what I would say. Meaning, but I fundamentally disagree with the point of the Braisa. Right? And perfect. That's exactly what Rav Yochanan's saying. Okay, so Tanan. So now, let's take a look at our Mishnah. So again, Rav Yochanan says that kol ha-mekalkalim peturim, and that would be across the board. Every one of the malachas. So now the Gemara says, okay, we get to look at our Mishnah. Shara shehidlik is a gedish b'shabbos chayiv, v'hu shehidlik is a gedish b'shabbos pater. So v'ketani hu dum yedeshoro ma shoro below kabayile. As we now finally get to today's daf, af hu nami delo kabayile v'ketani pater mimneshu nida manavsho. Okay, so beautiful. So in our Mishnah, what do we want to do? Compare and contrast my animal damaging and I damage. And the whole point of the Mishnah is that if my animal does the damage and it's a Shabbos, it also involves Shabbos malacha, but so what? Meaning my animal is not mischayev benafsho, and so there's no kimle by the animal, so therefore obviously I'm going to be liable for the damages. On the other hand, if I do it, so because it's a malacha and we have the principle of kimle, so I'm not going to be chayev for the financial liability. Good. That's just a review of the Mishnah. But now the Gemara is drilling a little bit deeper. The Gemara says, and you see what just happened over here. What just happened over here is that we're comparing you and your shor. Now, when your shor lit a fire, Was it purposeful? Of course not. Your animal lighting a fire. When I say lighting a fire, by the way, in other words, like we described earlier in the Masechta, right? Your dog picked up a coal and brought it from one place to another. But in other words, but was there a tzorech? Of course not. And we're comparing and contrasting. And you lighting a fire, was there a tzorech? Well, if we're comparing you to your animal, we're going to have to say no. And meanwhile, mischayev benafsho. Oh, right. You see, it is an extraordinary point. Once you see the Mishnah comparing and contrasting ma'isa behema, ma'isa adam, and the whole point is that by ma'isa behema p'tur. Sorry, let's do that correctly. By ma'isa behema chayev. By ma'isa adam p'tur. And what we're also pointing out is that the kavanah's got to be the same, which is that by the animal there's no productive kavanah, by you as well, no productive kavanah, and yet you're chayev. That's a strong kasha against Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says, lo, shor dum yididei, so ma'u kabayle, afshor de kabayle. So the Gemara says, well, okay, well, you know what I'll do? I'll just flip it on you. I'll flip it on you. And that is that I'll say that, no, your animal was doing it constructively. How do I know that? Because you were doing it constructively. It only, of course, begs the question. What is your animal doing? Starting a fire constructively? So the Gemara's question. So the so sure hechem mishkachale. So I'm a Rav Avi Yachib ben Maizkinan. B'shore pikeach shalta lo neshicha begabav v'kabay lemiklevi v'ingader bekutma. Okay, you have a shore pikeach, really, really smart animal. Okay, I know various animals of the world are accused of being smart. May be true. I'm not smart enough to know which animals are smart and which animals are not. But the Gemara over here is projecting that what we're looking at is a really smart animal that got a bite and now wants to do is that basically wants to self-treat. And so what the animal is going to do is it's going to start a fire in order to create ashes, in order to put the ashes on the wound. So the umi ika ki agavna, the Gemara says, now, it sounds a little kooky, but the Gemara says, I know it does. But the Gemara says, but it's precedented. In the hautur da hava beira papa, ra papa owned an ox. And have a kivan lechinche, and it is suffering terrible toothache, and ayol patkal and lazasa v'shasa shechar v'itze. And what the animal did is it helped himself to the beer of Rav Papa. Okay, time and again throughout Shas, by the way, we're treated to the idea that Rav Papa was a master brewer, and not only that, Rav Papa made lots of money with his brewery. Also, by the way, we have Gemaras that even describe the shape of Rav Papa, but whatever. The Gemara talks about it, so it's not like it's not off the table to talk about. But the point is that Rav Papa and his beer. So over here, the Gemara tells a story about one of the animals of Rav Papa that suffered terribly and basically went into Rav Papa's brewery, drank some beer, and self treated. So I know it sounds a little kooky. I know the Gemara is saying this. I know it sounds a little kooky that we're talking about animals treating themselves. Okay, I know it does, but it happens. So at least we could suggest that's the pshat in the Mishnah. I'm Rabban Akamid Rab Papa. Me matzis am Rishorma Dumi Didei V'Hakatani. Shor Shabish Pata V'Hu Shabish Chayev. Shor Dumi Didei. So the Niskav Lebay Sheikh Mishkachala. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'm still going to push back, says the Gemara. And what was another example in the Mishnah where you were taunting and teasing and you were embarrassing somebody? And what do you want to say? Your animal was taunting and teasing? Like, in other words, that's ridiculous. That's absurd. Animals aren't taunting. Animals aren't teasing. So the Gemara says, no. So the Gemara says, Kigon shin ishin iskavin lahazik damramar, iskavin lahazik alfa pishlo iskavin labayesh. The Gemara says, yeah, but I'm going to, let's clarify. When is there a busha payment? When you were intent to embarrass somebody? Not necessary. In other words, there needs to be intention, but the intention doesn't have to be I'm intending to embarrass. All you need is that I'm intending to damage and injure. Meaning if I slap you, and my intention isn't to embarrass you, but my intention is to really hurt you. So, and I slap you publicly. And so not only do you receive the pain, and let's say it's a really good slap, and there's damage. And on top of that also, it was public, so therefore there was humiliation. For the payment of busha, we made this point already in the Masechta. We're saying it again in today's daf. For the payment of busha, there doesn't have to be kavana for mizbayish. As long as there's kavana for nezek, that's sufficient. And you have that by an animal, meaning, you're right, an animal doesn't taunt and doesn't tease. But an animal has kavana lahazik, meaning Isn't that the whole definition of Karen? The definition of Karen is Kavanah Salahazik. So over here, as long as it's Kavanah Lahazik, so there in theory would be a busha payment, and that's exactly the point of the Mishnah. By animals, there is no busha payment. By people, there is. Okay. Okay. So where are we right now? Rav Yochanan says, in other words, all this is a Shabbos discussion. It just happens to be here in Baba Kama. Right? Someone comes to Rav Yochanan and presents a brisa, you know, call him Miskalkalim Peturim, which again, Klal Gadol by Shabbos, is that if you're doing a malacha, but destructively, not constructively, so you are exempt. Good. But now, on top of that, so the brisa reads, but two notable exceptions, and that is making a chabura and the and mavir and lighting a fire, and if I'm doing it not constructively but rather destructively, so you're going to be chayev, not pater. Okay, that's the brisa that was taught in front of Rav Yochanan. To which Rav Yochanan says, here's what you could do with that brisa. Take it out of the base medrash. It has no place over here. Meaning when we say kol hamakalkalim peturim, we mean kol hamakalkalim peturim, all 39 malachas. And then what the Gemara does is the Gemara is pushing on Rav Yochanan, because our mission would seem to indicate that a fire was started with absolutely no constructive purpose. And yet, kimle b'darabim, which means that it really is a malacha. Which means now that whoever authoring this brisa sounds like he's right, and the Gemara defended Rav Yochanan. That's so far what we've done. Gemara is Viter. Rav Amar, Masnitz and Mishogeg, Rav Kidatan de Bechiskia. And Rav will say, no, you know what our Mishnah is talking about? Our Mishnah is talking about a case of Shogeg. Detan de Bechiskia, Maka Adama, Maka Behema, Ma Maka Behema, Lo Chalakta, Ba Behem Shogeg, Behem Meze, Behem Meskavin, Lashay Meskavin, Behem Bederech Yeria, Behem Bederech Aliyah, La Pocho Mamon, Ela Lechaiva Mamon, Av Maka Adam, Lo Tachlok Bo, Behem Shogeg, Lameze, Behem Meskavin, Lashay Meskavin, Okay. I read that quickly. I know I read that quickly. And on top of that also, I'm not even going to explain right now all of it. In other words, but the basic point of Tanah de Bechizkiah, we hear this a couple of times in Shas, and that is that the rule of Kimle b'derabim minei is not limited to when you're actually going to get the harsher punishment. As long as there is a possibility of getting the harsher punishment, even though Lamaisa you're not going to get it, we're still going to say Kimle b'derabim minei, meaning Tanah de Bechizkiah is teaching us that. Let's say you violate Shabbos, but b'shogeg. Shogeg meaning, you wake up in the morning, you're groggy, you forgot that today was Saturday. You thought it was Sunday morning. You get in the car, you drive. You're now being Michal Shabbos, but it's shogeg. So now, let's say that in doing so, also damage occurs. So now, are you going to be chayev on the damage? Tanah de Bechizkiah is teaching us, no, you're not. Meaning, because as long as there's Chilul Shabbos, admittedly, there's no onesh, because it's shogeg, but as long as there's Chilul Shabbos, so that now creates a patur for the mamon. Tanah de Bechizkiah, we say numerous times throughout Shas, this daf today, our daf today, Lamed Hei, in Baba Kama, introduces that to us beferish. And so what Rav is telling us is that that's what our Mishnah is describing. Our Mishnah is describing where it was done constructively, it was just simply done b'shogeg. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know, it doesn't really fit into the words of the Mishnah. The Mishnah writes, Ha nidon benafsho. So hachi kamar. So kev de memeze nidon benafsho hechidami de kabay lefra, hasha beshogi pater. So the Gemara says, Rava says, I know what the Mishnah says, but this is how I will explain the Mishnah. And that is that because it is in principle a mazid act, even though you didn't do it b'mazid, but it is a mazid act, therefore creates a patur. Okay. Yeah, we're almost up to speed. Almost. Okay, we're going to we'll pause over here. And what we'll do tomorrow is that we'll start with the Mishnah. Okay, let's quickly recap. Let's review. Okay, short time paints Chatzin Ezek. That was yesterday's daf. Honestly, You walk away knowing that. That's good. We entertained at least the idea that as far as post-damage that's done, what if there's a depreciated value of the nevela? What if there's an appreciated value of the nevela? What happens to that? Who absorbs the depreciated value and who gains from the appreciated value? So those are topics which admittedly were a little trickier, but those are topics that we touched on in today's daf, really yesterday's daf. Okay, and then we started with the big sugya of compare and contrast. Animal doing damage, you doing damage. So they are not, even though it's the damage is the same, but the halachas are going to be different in certain areas. By freeing of slave, by violating an iser, iser misa bidei adam, in damage done to your mother. Well, that's the same point of kimle b'derabim minei. In busha, right? So in other words, so there's certain areas in nezek where even though it's exactly the same, but because it's a shor versus adam, so the halachas are going to be different. Certain halachas exist by shor that don't exist by adam, and vice versa as well. And the Mishnah illustrated busha kimle b'derabimine, shor going free. So in these halachas, they are different regarding adam hamazik versus shor hamazik, and the Mishnah just simply illustrated. And then in the Gemara, what we did today is that the Gemara fleshed out the idea of kimle b'derabimine and introduced us to Tana de Bechizkia. Tana de Bechizkia taught us that even though you're not actually chay of misa, but as long as what you do potentially could be mechayiv misa, so we're going to say kimle b'derabimine, it creates the patur mamun. So that means to say that if I lit a fire on Shabbos, but I did so b'shogeg, as long as it could result in a chay of misa, so there's going to be a patur mamun, right? Again, just to play that out remarkably, in other words, I didn't even know today was Shabbos, and I lit a fire on my neighbor's property. According to Tana Bechizkia, you're going to be putter. I say putter, by the way, keep in mind, that's putter is bidei adam. Bidei shemayim, obviously, you still have to pay, meaning the right thing to do is to pay for the damages, but you can not be taken to court.